Coming up on TMS, hooray for Furrywood. Furrywood.
Oh, even that. Come on now.
Furrywood.
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 You got to get to Cubbies.
Guy Furrywood. Just kidding. Garner takes selfies with Common.
97-year-old says it's...
What?
Strut. Oh, says stuff about Hitler.
Stuff about Hitler.
Jeez.
It's Monday, everybody. It's Monday. Yeah. Another one did protest too much.
Deadpool mask at robbery.
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Low income, 12 ahead. Mid income, 14 ahead. Blue collar, 17 ahead. White collar, 10 points ahead.
Unless the hole is real tight, I don't want to think about my stroke.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, the day after.
Yes.
The day after the Oscars. Every year for 5 years now, we have enjoyed the day after the Oscars because we get to talk about who won or didn't win. Mm-hmm. The only difference this year, Brian, is that in years past, there have been plenty of movies that no one really cares that much about.
Well, bite your tongue.
Well,
I liked a lot of the movies that have happened over the years.
Sure.
You got The Artist.
The King's Speech.
There just
speech.
Happens to be one movie this year that you care a lot about.
Yeah, that's true. Twitter exploded yesterday as they went on their little winning run, and we'll get to all of that in a minute. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. First of all, welcome everyone. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Nibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
TMS, it's a leap year deal, right? 24-hour mm-hmm. extra day, something. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, because, you know, we get an extra, or no, we lose 15 minutes or something every year. Or not 15 minutes every year. It's like a quarter of a day every year, right? So it'd be 6 hours every year, 15 minutes a month or some ridiculous thing.
This is accumulated time, then, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, this is us. Did I just get robot-y?
No, that was Randy's voice Ooh. Making you sound robot-y.
Oh, okay.
who is this?
Hold on a second. It's a couple couple of crackheads on the line.
Shut up. I'm explaining leap day.
So wait, though. Hold on. Okay, before we introduce our guests, is it truly that we accumulate time and then this is how we spend it?
Yes.
With an extra day.
A rotation or a revolution around the sun is not exactly 365 days. It's like 364 days.
Okay.
And so every fourth year, we need a little extra day to kind of even the deal and basically burn off that extra
day.
Time that we've been accumulating.
Yeah. Our goal this year was to lose some time weight, and here we
are. That's
right. All right. Let's get to it. We have a very unusual thing happening this morning. On the line with us, we have the FilmSack crew, and we're doing a little follow-up because earlier this week we did an episode of TMS PM where we talked all about our predictions for the Oscars, some of which were right, some of which were way wrong, some of which were sort of right and wrong. And we'll get to all of that in a second, but let's introduce everybody. Brian Dunaway's here. Brian, hello.
Hi, Scott.
Hey,
Brian.
Hey, Brandy. Man.
Hello.
Are you on your phone or what? Is that where you're at?
I am on my phone. Do I like, sound okay?
No, you sound great. I like it.
Sound fine.
I feel like we're getting important news from somebody in the war zone. I like it a lot.
Believe it?
Yeah, I do. And Randy Jordan's here.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. I know who Stacey Dash is.
Who's Stacey Dash? Explain.
Ridiculous joke that fell flat last night because conservative white people know who Stacey Dash is, but they don't watch the Oscars, and liberal white people watch the Oscars, but don't know who Stacey Dash is. She was the co-star of Clueless, young black actress who starred alongside Alicia Silverstone in Clueless, and has gone on to a intrepid career as a conservative political commentator who... let's just say she's troublesome to a lot of views that were represented last night.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Joke was to march her out on stage and make fun of just how bad race relations are in Hollywood, that they would hire someone like her to be a liaison. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Joke is bad. Nobody knew what they were looking at.
I missed that whole thing.
Here's the funny part is that I only knew her from Clueless, so now that all makes sense. Why are they bringing out the girl from Clueless?
Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
I didn't see the whole Twitter drama between her and Jada Pinkett Smith.
No, I didn't see any of that. I miss all. Listen, you're the TMZ guy, Dunaway. You can get into this stuff if you want to. I don't know. Hey, I don't follow that stuff.
I'm on TMZ right now.
I know. I missed.
Kim Kardashian has broke the internet again.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Is it with her bum this time or something else?
She sit on it. What happened?
Oh. Right. She literally duplicated somebody's IP address and broke the whole thing.
Oh, good.
Come on! I'm not ruffling any feathers when I say that Kim Kardashian has a big posterior.
No, she does. She likes it.
She flaunted it on the front of that magazine with a champagne bottle on there.
She revels in it. She likes that there bum of hers. All right, so here's the deal. We decided we'd come together post-Oscars and talk just real quick about, since we were going to talk about Oscars anyway, we may as well do it with like our film buddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about who won, who lost, who should have won, who should have lost, and all that. There were some predictions made the other day, which I didn't write down. Does anyone have? No one has a list.
I wrote most of it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, good.
All right, good. Someone needed to.
There were some big surprises. Let's just say we were all correct with a couple of big surprises where practically no one was right. For instance, best supporting actor, I was the only one who said Mark Rylance was going to win that one.
Mm.
And none of us got visual effects right because – neither Star Wars nor Mad Max won best visual effects.
Ex Machina.
I think we all said that we think that Ex Machina, it would be nice to see them. I think we all made comments that it would be great to see it, but none of us thought that they would get their due.
And then, of course, like everybody else, we didn't think the final award to the producers would go to Spotlight over Revenant. Any of them. Big Short.
Yeah, I said Spotlight.
Scott. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
Brian said Spotlight. He's been a big Spotlight guy the whole time. He's been in the Spotlight, really, on that
I've
film.
Been in the Spotlight.
Just to finish off what I'm looking at here, I kind of circled the nine big categories. There were nine that defined the Oscars. They are producers, director, the four acting awards, the two screenwriting awards, and cinematography.
Yeah.
And of those, Revenant won three, Spotlight won two, and then the other four went to four great films.
Yeah.
Like Big Short and Room and Danish Girl. You see what I mean?
Did you guys get the feeling that this, I said this on Twitter last night and I really believe it, this Oscars felt like the one where everybody got a little piece of the pie. That's like they came out with a pie and they said, all right, now there's a lot of you in the room. I know you're all hungry and you're all expecting pie. I'm going to cut this up so you all just get a little piece. So don't worry about it. So Big Short, you'll get your due with the screenwriting hoo-ha. And don't worry over there, Mad Max. You'll get a bunch of technical shit.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, everyone gets a trophy.
I would agree with that except for two things. One, the voters don't collude, and so it's kind of accidental. You're talking about how it felt, though.
Yeah.
Two, some really great films got completely locked out. Like The Martian got nothing. Trumbo got nothing. Carol got nothing. Brooklyn is probably the best of those that didn't win an award, and that's all right.
Oh, I disagree. I mean, I liked Brooklyn. I thought it was a cute movie, but it was a tricycle among motorcycles in the.
Oh, I like that scenario.
It's a really cute movie, and it'll get you where you want to go for 2 hours, but no long staying power.
That's interesting. All right. What'd you all
Circe. Absolutely lovely, and I think we're going to see her a lot of stuff going forward. Wasn't she in The Lovely Bones or
no?
Not Lovely Bones. What was the other one?
I know which one you mean. The other one that's called
A Walk in the Bones.
The Bone Walking Bone Walkers.
Bone Walker.
Bone Talkers. Nope. Bone Lockin' the Bone Talkers. I don't know.
I thought she was in another young adult fiction something adaptation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So we all predicted great things for Mad Max, and in the end, it did everything I thought it would do except director. I also thought it would do special effects, but I only thought that in light of them ignoring Ex Machina, but they didn't, and I'm glad. I think that movie deserved it. It was nice. But six awards means it's the leader of the night. It won more than anybody else, so I will now stop talking about how this movie's going to win more than anyone else, because it already did, and it's done now. It's done. It won more than anyone else. Now, you might say, well, Scott, what about the big two? What about director and film? My prediction was it wouldn't get best film, for Best Picture, but that it would probably get...
I'm sorry, Scott, you're being played off.
Oh, shit.
Thank you.
Hold on. Wait, my mother... My mother's meant so much to me. Thank you to also... Oh, shit. All right.
So well played. Well played.
But anyway, my point being that it did... The two areas I wanted it to win, obviously, because I'm a huge fan, it didn't, but I wasn't surprised about Picture. I was a little surprised about what got Best Picture, but I'm a little bugged about Director, because that feels a little bit like a weird kind of robbery. You gave it to Inarritu last year. Mm-hmm. Nosferatu. That's right. How you say it, right?
Right.
You give it to him 2 years in a row, but you don't give him Best Picture. That is always weird to me, and that's why I have this feeling of everyone gets a trophy in some little area or another, and it's like, well, listen, Mad Max, you got all your technicals, so good job. And they were deserved, no question.
But you know what? When you look at it, directing and producing the movie are two different things. The producer hires the director, but the producer also hires the cast, hires right. the screenwriter. Right. You know, it's like saying that when a company has the best software, best app of the year, that they should automatically be the best company of the year. Well, there might be other companies that do a better job of releasing apps or do a better job of releasing software. I'm trying to come up with a good analogy.
But it doesn't matter, because Spotlight won for best original screenplay, Brian. It absolutely deserved to be best picture. Like
fine. And I understand what you're saying, Brian, but I would say to that, it's not, they're not giving an award to, I mean, they are, but it's not an award for who's the best company making a movie. You know what I'm saying?
But it's what's the best overall, you know, they did a great job casting that. Casting didn't have anything to do with the director. The director worked with the cast that was, you know, given to them, or the director maybe was involved partially in like auditions and stuff. But for the most part, it's the producers who are like saying, okay, I think we want Leonardo in the leading role on this. I think we need so-and-so doing the writing of the, in the screenplay or adapting the screenplay or whatever.
But you don't think they don't give it to Spotlight because because they have the best casting directors and stuff like that. That's not what you're suggesting.
Well, it's part of it. It's part of the pie.
Sure. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't think that comes into it. I think it is who made the best movie. And I'm not saying Spotlight isn't the best movie. It probably is.
Sure.
I haven't seen it yet. Sure. In fact, I'm quite sure, given the subject matter and my penchant for such things, I think I'd come away also thinking it was maybe the best drama of the year or deserve that Best Picture nomination the most. Director, though, if you're gonna just not give George Miller his due, that's okay, because oftentimes geniuses like, I don't know, Stanley Kubrick never got his Oscar either. Just a little note there.
Sure.
So
the Hitchcock Club.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I have no, I'm not salty about it. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I think he could have won it. And it was an opportunity to say, look, 35-year career of very varied filmmaking, very interesting career. Here's your nod, because all that technical means nothing without a director who knows what to do with that technical. So it kind of like feels like you need to get it on both ends and let Best Picture go to whoever. Who cares about that?
And here's the deal. If it weren't for Ex Machina and Revenant taking visual effects and cinematography, you would have had a Mad Max sweep of the technicals, which I think I mentioned on FilmSack has only happened a couple times. Actually, it's only happened once. Titanic is the only one to sweep all of the technicals.
Mm.
And...
always sweep your testicles, Brian Dunaway says.
Do a technical sweep.
Testicle sweep, yeah. No, that would have been a pretty groundbreaking thing, right? Because that doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. Dunaway, any surprises from your end? Anything you thought was... I missed a ton of the ceremony because I was busy with a family thing.
Oh, hey, let me get you caught up, okay?
All right.
It's funny how black people weren't nominated. Nope. Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's a hoot.
But you know, and it was like that. It was not only is it funny because we want to shine a spotlight on it, huh? And so they also they I felt a little bit pandered to, because not specifically, but I felt like they were like pandering to. They, you know, they started bringing out, oh, you know, this person is they got this person. You know, it's like they have, hey, look, we do have black people in our in our group.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I'd love to see a breakdown of how many of the presenters were black, because it did feel like. All right, well, we can either bring out Michael B. Jordan or we can bring out one of the Hemsworths.
Yeah.
Let's bring out Michael B. Jordan.
That's, That's just a feeling. I mean, they probably had all this nailed down way before that happened. It's probably just a happy little coincidence.
Well, that's my question. Do you think it's like when you buy a new car and you get out on the freeway that next day and now suddenly you notice how many people have your car? Is it like that? You're just noticing it because
exactly
it's in the air?
It is.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. For the music, they brought out Quincy Jones, Pharrell Williams, John Legend, and Common. They brought out all four of them to do the two music editors.
And they kept cutting to shots of people sitting in the audience, like The Weeknd. You know, like there was a deliberate thing there. Kevin Hart did a monologue on diversity and how we need to be looking to the future. Mm-hmm. There was definitely a deliberate thing there. But I just want to point out, this was the Oscars where a Pakistani woman won an Oscar for a film about honor killings. She's changing the world. This was an Oscar, an award ceremony where, for the first time, a South Korean actor got to present an award. Mm-hmm. This there was more diversity here. There was a Mexican American who made an American film about an American story who won an Oscar for directing. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely.
Hungary won for the first time. Chile won for the first time.
Chile had never even been invited. There had never been a filmmaker from Chile who got to sit up in the front. This guy gets up and he's just like, you could just feel an entire country cheering.
Well, let me tell you the problem is. Here's the problem. It's as simple as this. If white people, if our ancestors hadn't have been such dicks to black people, we wouldn't have to deal with this right now. It's on us, man. We were just such dicks back in the past. Like, I don't know, you got your slavery and your oppression and your whatnot, and it went all the way up to after we had TVs and radio. Hell, I was born in a year when things were still a little bit rough on that side of things. We're just a bunch of dicks. So now we're paying for it, all right? So if you tune into the Oscars, white people, and you went, oh, man, they're sure shoving it down our throat. Well, that's what you get for hundreds of years of being a dick. Okay?
The thing is, it wasn't shoved down your throat. It was very entertaining. Even Kevin Hart standing there telling us, you know, this is let this go. We got something to work with here. He was funny the whole time. Mm-hmm. And there were some things, like, there were a bunch of things that probably went over lots of viewers' heads. Like, Louis C.K. got up and basically did a Trumbo act. And if you haven't seen anything about Trumbo, then you would just think, oh, Louis C.K. is being a dick here.
Oh. Yeah, I hadn't seen Trumbo, so I did that. That did go over my head.
See? Mission accomplished. I don't know. Like, when you guys say the Oscars were entertaining, I only caught bits and pieces because of this family thing I was in. And all I knew is that they were on a roll with Mad Max and my Twitter was blowing up with people telling me about it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I paid attention, but I missed all that milieu.
I jumped up and yelled, yeah, when Leonardo DiCaprio finally got his Oscar. I mean, I've been waiting for that man to get his comeuppance for a really long time, and I thought that was awesome. But then I also sat down and went, I just cheered a man who has, you know, every time you see him, he's on a boat with a bunch of hot women and he's super rich. Like, this was the thing that was going to fulfill his life or something. But
you think he was you're saying you think he was doing all right before the statue got put in his
hand? He was fine without the Oscar. Okay. But I felt like it was just. I also put a picture in the chat
where he's flipping off the camera.
Great. He's flipping off the camera, and also he's getting an engraving afterwards, and he's talking to the engraver lady. And I'm like, wow, I'd love to hear that conversation.
It's nice that he finally, we know he can finally eat Gilbert's grapes and not feel bad about it. He can also, he didn't thank the bear. I thought that was a little shocking. Right. Why don't you thank the bear for all his work he put into this? Jeez, what's next year going to be about? Bears matter, hashtag bears matter, everyone, bears matter.
happened? What did you guys think about his statement after his acceptance award, talking about global warming? Was it over the top? Was it too much?
No, there's a long tradition of that in Hollywood. I don't think this is any different than ever. They always do this.
You know what? It was a nice change out of all the other important, quote unquote, important talk that we'd had the rest of the the rest of the Oscars. It's like,
you know,
that's a relief. It's global warming this time.
Yeah,
and he kept it. He kept it relevant. Relevant. He hit Revenant. The
Revenant.
with the movie,
yeah,
which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm always a little bit, I don't like actors who, it bugs me when like, what's his name, Spicoli stands Tim up Robbins. And goes.
Oh, Sean Penn.
Sean Penn will get up and go, there's 1,000 dead monkeys every year because of whatever. And like it's, I understand they've got a platform, they can do it.
Sure, you didn't mean Harrison Ford with that?
That dead monkey belongs in a museum, Dad. So I understand that the platform affords them this opportunity to get up and talk about causes that they're interested in. But a lot of times, because of how my perception of Hollywood and how, I don't know, just how, like if you look at the crowd shots, what a sea of misery shit that is. Like outside the red carpet I'm talking about, people are flowing in and there are these pictures. There's a great one that I put on Twitter last night. It's a shot of everybody milling around and going past the big 7-foot-tall gold Oscar statue. And to me, that didn't look like a bunch of excited industry veterans on their way to the great Oscar night. It looked to me like a sad robot making his way out of the room while the sea of sadness and Prozac moved the other way.
Oh, Scott.
Listen, I'm telling you, there is a... Listen to me, dude. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There is wonderful entertainment for us to partake in. But there is some seedy shit going on in the background and I can see it in everyone's face. I can see it. Grumpy old women who are just like, oh my Lord, how can I even live? There's just something going on. Now, I don't know them personally and I'm not trying to make blanket statements here, but I'm making a blanket statement. It was a sea of miserable people going into that place. The only people happy walking out of there are freaking DiCaprio on his way with his dad body or whatever they make fun of now.
Brie Larson
and the people who won all their shit. And that's great. Good for them. But I'm telling you, there's like wives of like these ancient producers that are 98% plasticine. There's very little flesh on these people anymore. Human flesh. And that's all I can think about when I see this stuff. I can't think of anything else. Does that make me cynical? Does that make me bad? What does that make me?
I'll tell you.
That makes you a viewer of the Oscars.
Yeah, I'll tell you where I got all cynical and salty, and that was on visual effects. Mad Max. So Mad Max was nominated for 9. It won five or six of those.
Six of those.
The one of the 9 where I felt like it was an upset to lose was visual effects. Like I say, for me, it probably went to Star Wars, but I understand. Oscar voters who are 90 years old not recognizing that. So while they're showing you the nominees for visual effects, they're going through some documentary shots of how those visual effects are made for each of those nominees, right?
Right.
And one of them, which should not have been nominated at all, was The Revenant. The Revenant did not belong in that category. Iñárritu had spent years saying he doesn't do visual effects. He wants to get it in the camera. He even has this big long spiel about how he wants to film in chronological order, which is insane. Like it doubles the cost of making a movie to film scene for scene in order. But anyway, so Iñárritu had gone on and on about how green screens are ruining movies, is what he said. And then there we are at the Oscars watching all of this green screen work in The Revenant. And you see the shot where Leo rides a horse off a cliff and you see how they made it. And it's actually really clever, but it was all green screen stuff with this fake horse that this dummy was sitting on. And you see the dummy get thrown into a green screen. And you're like, oh, wow, Iñárritu's full of shit. And then they finally give you the bear mauling Leo. And you're thinking, oh, now we're going to see a swipe and get to see how they made it. Mm-hmm. And they cut away.
Of course not. They're not sharing that trade secret. They got to have more.
It was a real bear and a fake Leo.
Oh, so
it was just a, was it like a meat filled Leo?
It was actually just Leslie Jones in a bear costume. It got revealed in another segment of the Oscars.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the first, Scott, go back on like Hulu and watch the first 30 minutes.
Of what?
The Oscars, you'll love it.
I don't know.
Of what?
Was it? Okay.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, yeah that's I missed like all that. The little cut-ins that they had, like Chris Rock interviewing people at the Compton Theater and the, you know, if Whoopi Goldberg, if black people were in the Best Picture nominees and, you know, Whoopi Goldberg and the whole bit with the Martian was brilliant.
Oh, I like that bit. I did see the bit with Tracy Morgan. That made me laugh.
Yes, the Danish girl.
Yeah, that was great. Right. He looked good, too, by the way.
He did look good. Yeah.
I know things have been a little rough for him lately. And yeah. He looked great. Okay, I'll do that. First 30 minutes, I'm in. But I missed all that, and then I only caught pieces, and then by the end of the night, I was kind of, you know what, I have to admit, I wasn't all that upset for missing most of it. Like, I can sit through it, but is it like every year, by the time things are rounding up, you're just sort of, holy shit, is this still on? Like, are we still going? Like,
where there's a lull, and this I didn't feel like there was one this year. I'm sorry, go ahead, Randy.
They had the orchestra under the stage instead of elsewhere, and they were very tight. They pushed people off the stage. I wish they hadn't pushed the woman who won for a Girl in the River off the stage so fast, because it was an important moment. But it was, I never felt like there was a big lull, except when Stacey Dash came out. There was a 10-second lull. You know? Yeah,
wasn't necessarily lull as much as a clunk, an audible clunk.
How was the in memorandum deal or memoriam thing?
Oh, my God. That was
fantastic.
Fantastic.
It was Dave Grohl doing Blackbird by the Beatles.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, I'm sad I missed that. And they ended on Spock or something, I heard.
And they made sure people didn't do the applause thing. I don't know how you get people to not to spontaneously applause when, like, Alan
Rickman
appears.
I'll tell you how. You blast music at them, and then you fade the music down, and you have the actors who have died speaking. And everyone shuts up because they want to hear it.
So they can hear. Yeah.
Oh, did they do that? They had clippies from them, from their roles and stuff? All right.
Yeah, there was Omar Sharif and Christopher Lee and David Bowie, and you're just like,
Did they show David Bowie in his labyrinth get
up? They didn't. They showed from, what was it, Goodbye, Mr. Chip? Or what was there, movie he had with Mr. Something in the title? Mr. Lawrence? Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, or something?
Goodbye, Mr. Chip.
Goodbye, Mr. Chip. That's a movie.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. But he's not in it, is my point.
No, he's not in it.
No. He's not in it.
But it was something, Mr. Something.
He plays Mr. Chips.
He does.
So, all right. So, on the whole, you guys thought it was good. I didn't see enough of it to really make a thing.
It wasn't a groundbreaking, you know, it wasn't like, oh my God, that was the best, but it wasn't Anne Hathaway, James Franco level bad. So
yeah, that was really bad.
And there were two parts of the production of the show that really surprised me. One, they played a bit of a speech by Spike Lee, where he said, now it's true that you can, if you're a black man, you can be president of the United States before you can be the head of a studio. Which was just amazing. I can't believe they played that on TV.
Hold on now. Did they said that on TV? It was a recorded thing, though? Because he boycotted it.
A special filmmaker's award. He and Jenna Rollins and Debbie Reynolds received in a separate ceremony filmmaker awards or film awards, and they showed clips from their acceptance speeches and their announcements or their being presented. The awards.
Because he was one of the ones that boycotted the deal, right? Wasn't he?
Right. He was, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it was just unbelievable that they played that by him and they let it go. They let that point stand in his words. And then the other thing is, when the credits started rolling, understand, Chris Rock had just signed off by saying, Black Lives Matter, sign off, credits are rolling. Someone, some genius with an iPod, patches in the song Fight the Power by freaking Public Enemy. and then I think he probably shoved a security guard out of a room and locked a door, because that song played through the rest of the credits. It was so hard to believe that you're sitting there listening to Fight the Power.
Yeah. No, so when I heard about that, I thought they came out and did it live, like came out with his stupid clock around his neck and all that stuff. What's his name? They didn't do that? I thought it was like a live deal. Oh.
No, in fact, Chuck D tweeted while the credits were rolling, Chuck D tweeted, like, I'm surprised at this. I didn't know this was going to happen. This is dumb. It doesn't reflect what the song is actually about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Chuck D, good luck to you, buddy. I think that's probably it. Any other big surprises? I know the documentary for Amy, we all sort of thought that would happen. The music, Morricone, or however you say his name, he won, which seemed reasonably high expectation for that happening.
Yeah, surprise. I think it was still a surprise that Sylvester Stallone didn't get his award, but
seemed like a lock,
Randy,
right? Did, didn't it?
It did, but Randy had Rylance, and that was a great prediction on his part. I thought I felt like Stallone was a lock.
I think sometimes we overlook how much Oscar voters are exactly like Mark Rylance. They go to Broadway and see people like Mark Rylance on stage and so on. Mm. And they, you know, like Stallone, I think that discussion we had the other day about how if you've got some duds, it works against you when you make a good movie. I think that's exactly what happened with Stallone.
Yeah.
He's the voters just don't love him as much. And now he's our new Leo. We can wait for him to win his Oscar for years and years.
Yes, because he's old though now. He can't start.
Right, but he'll just keep making old man movies. He'll be in Gran Torino 2 in 20 years.
Nice.
Finally, Dunaway, the best animated feature. How you feel? I know you were pulling for Shaun of the Sheep or whatever, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you know, that Pixar crap was good. It was okay.
That's great.
I was a little bit mad anyway because. We watched The Good Dinosaur right before the Oscars. Yeah. Oh my God,
that movie's great.
If you wanted, I'm surprised that didn't get nominated for like most depressing movie this year.
Come on, now that movie was all right. That movie was cool. I mean, it wasn't. I don't think it was.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would have landed on this list story wise. Like the reason I think it didn't is because the story was a little bit, you know, told over. It's an old story. But man, yeah, what a beautiful freaking movie that is. Holy crap.
It was beautiful. But Inside Out, that movie really did some great things.
Yeah.
And
I still can't wait to see the other nominees, though, because when you watch those clips, and you're like, oh my God, Anomalisa looks awesome.
Yeah.
That's the only name I can remember right now. But some of the other ones, Boy in the World, the Japanese one, Marnie.
Yeah.
Marnie was there.
Marnie? Yeah. I think that was it.
That one looks good.
And then
good,
you got the Shaun Sheep business. That looked fine. Mm-hmm. I like all that stuff, so I'm excited to see them all. Some people get a little salty about, you know, Pixar always winning everything, and they get frustrated.
Well, make better movies than Pixar. That's all I can say.
Simple as that. It's a free world,
Speaking
man.
Speaking as somebody who dominated an awards ceremony, you know what? You want to do better, make better stuff. You
want
to be up there collecting awards, then... better.
Best meme of the night last night was a Photoshop that I want to say, who made it? I can't remember who made it.
It was TVZ Gun.
TVZ Gun. It was Brian Ibbett in his get up from Nerdtacular last year, his multicolored horrible hat and all that. And it says,
hey, that's a great hat.
I'm here to pick up all the awards for Mad Max Fury Road.
Wasn't it a picture of you from the podcast awards, though?
No.
I didn't have that suit at the podcast awards. Okay. I just had the hat at the podcast awards.
Yeah, that was the N15 suit. But it was the hat. Yeah. Same hat, right?
Same hat.
Yeah. Yep. Never forget.
I just wore a suit to finally go with it. Now, and then I tore that suit, and now I need a new suit.
Exactly. Too soon, never forget. all right. Well, I think that'll probably do it. A fine Oscars, a fine bunch of winners, and I think we can all just admit the best thing that happened in 2015 was Mad Max Fury Road. And ended at that. What else is there to say, really? Right? Oh,
shortest morning stream ever. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Brian Dunaway. Stay out of trouble, man. Eat your meat, because you can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat. He just laughs. Oh, my gosh. All right. Wow, we are well into it. Let's keep it moving. By the way, a quick recommendation, Brian. If you don't have it in Denver yet, petition to get a Cubby's there.
Okay.
Chicago.
Is Cubby's Chicago beef?
Yes. Chicago. Chubbies.
Is that all right?
You can have a Chubby's. That's fine.
Okay.
Well, no, you can't.
Chubbies.
You can't have a Chubby right now, though.
Okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
That's why the camera's only in the top half.
But we got a Cubby's here. This Chicago famous Cubby's like restaurant thing. And oh my gosh. I may have a new favorite burger.
I just Googled it and looked at that. They got a tri-tip sandwich with all those. Like the jardinera peppers on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So good, dude.
Yes.
So good.
I'm going to pickle some peppers this week, I've decided.
All right.
I got a fermenting set in my quarterly box. It's like Loot Crate, but they have people, you know, specific people build them. Will Wheaton does a quarterly box. You can get stuff that he handpicks to put in the quarterly box.
Yeah.
But I'm in one that's got like a maker box, and it came with a fermenting kit. So I'm going to make some. Gonna pickle some peppers.
Do some carrots too. Fermented carrots are insane.
Yes.
Oh, they're so good. They're the best way to do carrots.
That's in jardinera too.
Speaking of carrots.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Man, man, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stump Daryl. It's a part of the show we do every day with Daryl Scales, who's on the line right now. Hello.
Hello.
You still at home? You still doing parent duty things?
Yep, still making lunches and getting the kids to school and all that junk.
Any horror stories to tell? Everything's fine. Nobody's barfed on you or anything weird like that?
Not yet. Jeremy didn't feel good last night, but he's all good this morning.
Okay, because you never know. It could be just too many Twizzlers or the great plague hitting the house.
Yeah.
I am in full-blown paranoia mode right now, avoiding all, like, handrails, mm-hmm. doorknobs.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to a strip sick. I can't do it.
Which means that, you know, you're lowering, you're basically babying your immune system so that when you get to Mexico, the first thing you come in contact with is going to tear through your system. Like, yeah.
I'm going to have, like, some kind of Zika bomb that's just going to hit me. You're probably right. All right. Before we get going here, this Stump a Daryl segment is brought to you by whom?
Are you looking to feed that hunger for news and reviews of your favorite Marvel, DC, and genre TV shows? Does your stomach grumble for fun science, tech, pop culture, and comic convention coverage? It's alliteration right there. Mm. Get your fill at thegeekyplanet.com. Explore the extraordinary. That's thegeekyplanet.com.
Geekly like weekly, but with a
geekly G. Geekly with an L. I think I said Geeky Planet the first time. Geekly. The Geekly Planet is all one word. And then you put a .com at the end of it, and it'll take you someplace.
Now, this segment features an important feature now. feature.
Okay.
Where a people creature? Can call a number, 801-895-4724. It's a live number. We already have a caller because they were Johnny on the spot or Janie on the spot. I don't know. Who's this? Hello. Hello, caller.
Hello, your microphone is not in front of your face.
You appear to be... Oh, hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Hi, who's this?
Hey, there we go. This is Guido Marx of the Tadpool.
Ah, Guido Marx.
Guido Marx.
I love it.
My favorite Marx brother.
Of all the Marx brothers, exactly. He was one. It's good to have you here. You were very quick on the phone calling because you called right during the theme music, which is perfect. That means you get to be a part of today's proceedings. So here's how it works. We'll ask Daryl a trivia question. He'll try to answer it. And you'll have to tell us before he gets his potential answers whether you think Daryl is going to get it right or wrong. Right?
Okay.
That's how we're doing it.
And we're also going to tell you the category beforehand.
Yeah.
Because that's our concession to giving the giving the caller a little bit of a chance.
Yeah. We want you to know that, you know, so we can't just say, do you think we get it right? Yeah, I really believe in Daryl. All right, Daryl.
That's right.
How many quantum filaments can be found inside every neutron or whatever? So
the category
actually,
today.
What is it today?
Is the television show Friends.
Oh.
That's the television show Friends.
All right. So caller, what do you think? Do you think Daryl's going to know it or not know it?
Well, I don't know anything about Friends, so I'm going to say that Daryl probably doesn't know much about Friends either.
Oh, you guys are your mothers from another brother. No, wait. Brothers from another mother. There you go.
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Daryl, here's your question then. Are you ready? Are you feeling it? Are you comfortable?
Oh, I'm very comfortable.
All right. You know that entire series is on Netflix. You can go watch that if you wanted to.
Oh, but I won't.
But you won't. So here's your question. In the Friends episode, the one with the girl from Poughkeepsie, you remember that show always said the one with at the beginning,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ross falls asleep on a train and at the end of the episode, waked up in a train station. That's what it says. I didn't say it wrong.
Waked up.
It's supposed to be woke, Mike.
Whoever writes these might be waking and baking.
Yeah, I need to waked up. Anyway, woke up in a train station in what Canadian city? So he woke up in a train station in what Canadian city? Your options are A, Toronto, B, Montreal, C, Winnipeg, or D, Halifax. For some reason, my text formatting is weird. There we go.
Yeah, that is weird. I see that on there now.
Fix it.
Good fix.
So those are your options, Daryl. Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, Halifax. Now, we got a box from somebody. Let me read this. Jimmy Draper. Oh, I should play this, though. Hold on. It's been so long, I forgot the protocol here. Here you go.
Are you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
What stupid thing? What?
I put it in the car as if I'm going to work.
Yeah?
Oh, no.
Oh!
It's out in the car.
It's out in the car?
How long will it take you? How long does it take you to go out and run out and grab it?
Probably 60 seconds.
Okay, do it.
Yeah.
Daryl, we got in 60 seconds. All right. Because you can't.
60 seconds.
Because I'm not willing to eat beaver nuggets without him.
No, me neither.
So here we go.
These are Buc-ee's beaver nuggets. That's Buc-ee's. Big thanks again to Jimmy Draper. Oh, we should read his thing.
Yeah, he says this. Dear Scott, Brian, and Daryl, I've been meaning to get you these goodies for a bit, and here they are. But don't worry, they are made of yogurt. Well, they aren't made of yogurt, so you're not going to kick the bucket. Why would we kick the bucket? Oh, because of the yogurt sodas?
Because they're yogurt soda.
Oh, okay, okay. The best way I can describe these awesome beaver nuggets is they remind me of cereal. Wow, that's a hell of a compliment.
That is a good, yeah.
You know, rat turds are a little like cereal. I found these awesome morsels on a road trip to Houston. They're a bit like something you would eat if you were watching Saturday morning cartoons. All nostalgia aside, I hope you enjoy them. Thanks for all the entertainment over the years. You guys make my cubicle dwelling much better. And Brian, if you can squeeze in a cover done by the Puddles pity party again sometime soon, that'd be awesome. Love the show. Sure. Or love the snow froyo, Jimmy Draper. P.S. I figure the true way to stump a Trek nerd is to ask him random Star Wars questions. Nice.
Wait, are you guys eating, did you say beaver turds?
These are beaver nuggets.
Beaver nuggets. Yes, beaver nuggets. That's my
name. I found these morsels in a beaver den.
Well, I did something even more stupid than I thought. I took them to work.
Oh, no way. Oh, they're at work. Oh, all right. Well, I'm gone too far. We have to eat them.
Yeah, I'm in the bag.
Enjoy the habit, I guess.
Enjoy your beaver nuggets at work when you get back there. All right, Brian. All right. Yeah, definitely. You open that up. That smells like a stinky kid at a sleepover.
It smells like Saturday morning.
It smells like some kid in his onesie Spider-Man pajamas.
It's definitely like a honey cereal kind of smell.
Oh, yeah. Right. Little urine in there, kind of. Just a little bit of urine. Geez. A tasty little urine. All right, let's eat these. Let's try this. They look like little kidneys, don't they?
Mmm.
Yeah, it's cereal.
Totally cereal, like Quisp.
Yeah, or what's the one? The Cinnamon Toast Crunch, that's what it reminds me of.
Mmm, really? Okay. Yeah.
You could put milk on that and my kids would not know the difference.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Daryl,
very good.
I hope you enjoy those.
Oh, it says do not consume before going to Mexico.
Oh, shit. I'm in trouble. All right, Daryl, back to the drawing board here for you.
I'll eat mine in about an hour.
All right. So how do you feel about these Canadian cities? These are just north of us, as you may know. Even more or less away from you than me. Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, or Halifax? We have friends in Halifax. Joss lives up there. Jocelyn.
Oh, yeah, right.
Toronto has maple leaves.
Yep.
Montreal has expos, whatever those are.
Right.
What is one?
An expo?
Yeah, it's are you supposed to be frightened of them?
No.
Expositions or something like that.
I thought it was a place. I thought it's where you go to like a gun expo or a home and tent garden expo.
How does that make for a scary sports team?
Well, it's because they do so many expos. I'm genuinely serious about this. I thought that they named it after all the expos they have up there because it's because they're known for having or maybe I might be thinking of Toronto. Go ahead.
I thought that was a baseball team. No, the Expos.
It is.
Oh, okay. We're wondering where their name came from.
I always thought it was because they had a lot of Expos there. For real, is that wrong? It's a dumb
mascot.
That's what
I thought too. Yeah. I mean, it's short for exposition. But
yeah,
well, that's like calling us the Seattle's Cloudy Days.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a dumb idea.
Or the White Sox.
Or the Utah Jazz.
Right.
How about that?
That is dumb, too.
I know they used to be New Orleans, and it makes sense in New Orleans, but they named it after music, so why wouldn't they name it after another cultural thing, you know?
I guess.
Expo origin. Hold on. We're going to find it. This is what we do. Sure. We have the internet. We should use it for what it's worth. Here we go. By the way,
they're now the Washington Nationals.
Oh, they're not? Oh, really?
They're no longer the Expos.
Okay, they were.
I thought that was the team that the Globetrotters always play.
It's related to the Expo 67 World's Fair.
They're not the Washington. Hold on. Daryl's right. The Washington Generals are the
not
fake.
Washington Generals. They said Washington Nationals.
Oh, I thought you said Generals.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm not talking about the Globetrotter team.
I was going to say the fake Globetrotter team that's even faker than the Globetrotters. The losers in every match. They were the best. How would you like to be on that team?
That'd be great.
Yeah, because those guys could play ball, but they had to suck on purpose. They had to throw every game. So cool. All right, I can't find where it came from, but oh well.
I wonder if they ever switched out players from one team to the other if somebody got sick.
I don't know. Maybe. Nice one. All right, so what are we doing? Oh yeah, Daryl, you got your deal. You're still doing it. You're still digging through it there. What do you think?
Winnipeg. What's in Winnipeg?
I don't even know.
The Canadians.
There's some Canadians there.
I mean, the team is the Winnipeg Canadians.
Oh, is it?
Nope. No? Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, Montreal.
Montreal Canadiens.
That's
right. Also known as the Habs.
That's right. With the H's
Bruins
on there.
I am
jersey.
Dude, look at this.
As a Bruins fan, I do not like them.
You know what you just
the
did?
Jets?
You saved us you saved us like 20 emails just now, listener. Thank you for that.
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets. That's the hockey team.
Okay. We have the Jets here, but they're the band, the Polynesian band. They came from here.
Really?
I got my heart set on you. Remember that? Or no, how'd it go? I got... Oh, now I'm mixing up songs.
No, that's George.
How did it go? Something heart... Ah, shit. Jets, band.
I thought there was I'm on the edge of no control or something like that was the Jets, wasn't it?
Okay, it's the song is... Crush on You is what I'm thinking of.
Crush on You. Okay.
I got a crush on you. You know the one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. They're from
in the Benny and the Jets song, what are the Jets?
I don't know.
They're not the Sharks. Oh, okay. We know that. All right.
Okay. Halifax.
Halifax.
And when Paul McCartney and Wings sang about Jet, what were they singing about?
Propulsion. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're really into that.
Halifax is Nova Scotia.
That's where I want to say the Trailer Park Boys is set, I think, in Halifax. I could be wrong.
I put an arrow pointing to that, and I'm not sure why, so I guess I'll go with that.
All right, so you say it's that. If you get it right, then poo-poo on our listener. If you get it wrong, then he wins, and today he will win both an avatar and a digital song choice from the Andrew Allen Collection. Both those things. And when I say both, I mean both with an L. So here it is. Let's find out. Is it that? It is not that.
Yay.
That means our listener's a big winner and Daryl is a big loser. The answer is B, Montreal. He ends up sleeping past his stop and ends up in Montreal. Ross was trying to date two women at the same time in this episode and was exhausted and fell asleep on the train. Here's a clip. I got a clip. Right here's a clip. Right here.
Would you like to have coffee?
Are we really in Montreal?
Yes, we are. So, coffee?
Coffee sounds great.
Okay, there's no audience in the coffee place, is there? I hate that. Like, when Seinfeld's in a car, I don't like it when the audience claps and laughs in the car.
Really? Yeah. Although you're okay if they're in his house.
Well, I'm okay with it because I know it's a set with three cameras in there. And there's an audience literally out there.
You want to think that they're driving from set to set and the audience doesn't go with them?
Yeah, I want.
Okay.
And you can hear a difference. Like when he's in Jerry's apartment, the audience and the clapping when what's his name comes in, it's all very natural sounding. The minute they get in a taxi cab, it sounds like canned laughter, right? Because they're not there.
Sure, they're still on a set. They're in a car that's on the set.
Not always. Like when they're out on the street. How they do that one? Like when they're out there going, you must wear the ribbon. There's no audience there clapping for him or laughing, right?
I don't think it's filmed on a real street. I think it's filmed on a set.
No.
On a soundstage.
No. In Seinfeld?
Yeah.
No. There's totally outside stuff out where they do it out in Manhattan and stuff. Or like Jerry's or George is walking down the street in that king outfit.
When they had John Voight's car, I know there were some outdoor New York shots there. But like when they're walking down the street and they see... no bra lady, right?
Yeah. I think that's street. I don't think that's studio.
You don't think that's studio?
I'm not sure now. Now I have to look. I don't know why. These are the kinds of disagreements Brian and I have. We never have any other disagreements, but this kind of thing. Trivial
Sesame
stuff.
Sesame Street real? Or?
No, Sesame Street is fake as shit.
Now that it's on HBO, though, they're going to actually do a real street.
Do they have nudity in that cartoon or in that thing now? Okay,
yes.
Great. So tell me, give me a good example.
Wait till you see Snuffleupagus.
They'll only show him flaccid, though. It's fine. Congratulations. send Brian or I a private message, will you, there in the IRC, and we will hook you up, man. Congratulations. Well done. You've done a good job and guessed correctly that Daryl would get something wrong. I love the idea that what he got right was that Daryl would be wrong. It's something about that. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. You can find him on Twitter at the Trek Nerd, also at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. And Daryl, goodbye.
Come on.
Yeah, apparently it's a street in Universal Studios. Yeah. In Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Jerry Seinfeld takes somebody over to see the street.
So when he's in the parking garage and they're all laughing trying to find their car, that's not a set, is it? Is it?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I would think it would be a set. Yeah.
When they're on.
But I don't think it's a set with an. I see what you're saying. I don't think it's a set with an in-studio audience for those.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Because then it's just canned after laughter.
But like the car, I think they do have a car, you know, the half car on set that you only see them inside of it. And I think you are hearing the actual audience laugh at what they're doing in the car.
That could be. But it's just definitely a mix, right? Because when George is taking the arcade game across the street, the Frogger game.
That's that Universal Studios street.
That's the street?
All those streets. I'm sure it's the same street on all of those outside shots. Oh, yeah,
that's amazing, actually, then.
Yeah.
But no crap. But see, that's... But
you never done the Universal Studios tour?
Long. Well, I was a kid. It was so long ago.
Was there still Battlestar Galactica?
You know who I saw filming live? I saw the A-Team being filmed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were all down. They were far away from us, but we could see Mr. T and George Peppard hanging out. And now that I know they didn't like each other, it's even more mysterious. All right. That's it for that thing. That was fun. That was a nice, long thing. We're almost out of time.
We have no news time.
That's right. We'll do news anyway. Here you go. Yeah. Here's some news right here.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Today's news brought to you by
Homemade Pita Pizza.
Yeah, we had that last night. It was really good.
Yum.
Moving on. Jennifer Garner took a bunch of selfies with Common, and everyone wants to make something out of it as if they're like getting it on. But it's stupid because they're just being friendly. Yeah. TMZ and everybody else are like, oh, what's going on with Jennifer Garner? She hasn't been with Ben Affleck for a while. She's starting to hang out with Common. No, she took a selfie with the guy. It's right. No big deal. Did you see the one of Tom Hardy took a selfie of him, Leo DiCaprio, and some lady, and his phone case appears to be a photo in the case on it as a sticker or something, but of Shia LaBeouf on his phone?
No, I didn't see that.
It's hanging around. It's floating around the internet. You should check that out. I'm not convinced that's who it is, but people think that's a picture of Shia LaBeouf like doing his do it thing.
It would not surprise me.
Yeah. What else? 97-year-old German woman confirms that she saw Hitler's tiny micro penis. I don't need to go into that, but she says that he came to a bar she was performing in, and one thing led to another, and she got a good look at the little guy.
A one night stand kind of situation.
Yeah,
one
of those deals. Her name is Heidi Grobdinger.
What is a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?
What are you doing here? Oh, mein Führer.
That's your sign.
You have such a tiny penis.
She's 97 years old. She's a former
non-Jewish.
You have blonde hair.
I am not putting you in the gas chamber.
If I were remaking the alphabet, I would put you and I together.
All the bad bar pickups.
I think we need a Tadpool Facebook thing. Cleo normally would do this. She's not here, but yeah. Best Hitler pickup lines.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It
could give am the grower. I am not the shower.
What is a tiny penis doing in a place like this?
So she's 97 years old. She was a cabaret dancer at the time. She admitted to seeing his little unit and said, the headlines are true, she says. All this talk about a little tiny Hitler wiener is totally true. So there's that.
There you go.
In another story of I think somebody doth protest too much, anti-gay Michigan pastor resigns after being caught chatting on Grindr.
Mm.
You heard of the Grindr, right?
I've heard of Grindr.
It's like Tinder, but
it's
for
like
the
Tinder,
men.
But
it's for the dudes.
Extra G.
Yeah, it's all for the dudes. Michigan pastor once rallied and railed against same-sex marriage, was caught soliciting sex on a gay hookup app. Matthew Michaela, an associate pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church and School in Midland, resigned after he was busted for chatting on Grindr, where he told other men he was bicurious guy who loved making out naked. I don't want to keep saying it, Brian. I don't want to be a broken record, but don't trust people who rail against things, because usually they're hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always. I've yet to see anybody who gets up there and screams about this who doesn't eventually get caught doing the thing they're screaming about. I guess that's probably not true.
There's
somebody somewhere.
I mean, by that logic, you absolutely adore Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, and I must hate
Gyllenhaal.
And I probably hate Mad Max Fury Road.
See? Exactly.
It's a good point.
We're going to catch Scott on a on a forum.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the one place on the internet I can safely say that Mad Max was a shit movie.
It's like opposite day everywhere. I like it. Mad Max was terrible. I was only going along with it, but I didn't know it was going to go this far. Kind of like a Trump presidency.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, speaking of which, you should watch, I'm not going to talk about Trump today, but you guys should watch that John Oliver thing he did.
Holy smack, dude.
Wow. All right, next up. So that guy, he got busted. Armed robber wears Deadpool mask to hold up an Ohio bank.
Wow.
Actor Ryan Reynolds in prison today. No. It says an armed suspect wearing a Deadpool mask robbed a bank in South Point, Ohio on Friday afternoon. Ohio people, anyone live near South Point? Can you confirm or deny the story? He walked into a U.S. bank branch at 2 p.m., his face covered in a red and black mask similar to the one that Ryan Reynolds wears in the hit superhero movie, and pulled a handgun out and pointed at tellers. The unidentified man ordered them to hand over cash and then fled in a vehicle. It's more than $2,000.
Ooh. What a whopping score that was.
Yeah, it's like 1995's Heat. Right. It's a real
$2,000. Can you imagine what I can do with this?
It's amazing. It's a real heist. He smuggled in a little Chinese man in a box and
almost afford a 4K TV.
Almost, but not quite. Anyway, that guy did his thing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for major spoilers. We'll have Steven here. He'll hang out with us for a bit. We'll chat. We'll talk. We'll live it up. We'll have a few laughs, as Brian likes to say. Aww. In the voice of John McClane.
We'll have a few laughs.
There you go. After that, Veronica Belmont here for V for Video Games and a couple of emails. Before all of that, let's play music.
Sure. John Bauer wrote in, said, "Hey there, Scott and Brian. Once every 4 years, I get a birthday. And, of course, I totally forget to request a song. It's probably too late, but I'll try and sneak this request in anyway. I'm turning 9 this year. If you could play a cover of or by the 21 Pilots, that would be great. As always, the Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch song would be a great substitute."
Oh, okay. He's not going to get weird and tell me to pull up some ancient file? Okay, here you go.
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
I can do that.
Love the Sony PlayStation exclusive baseball game, though. Signed, John Bauer. I don't know.
He's not wrong to say that. They still make the best baseball game in the business.
Do they?
The rest of them
MLB
are crap.
Or something?
MLB. Yeah. 14, oh, the 15. Show. They call it The Show now.
The Show.
MLB
okay.
The Show.
Okay.
But it's fantastic, and everyone should play it if they like baseball. And if you don't, then why are you even listening to this?
Right.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Leap Day babies.
Oh, do
turning
you?
9, oh. John.
No.
All right. He wants a cover of or by 21 Pilots. How about a cover of? I couldn't find any covers by 21 Pilots, although I think they'd be great. This is basically a cover of their big hit, Stressed Out. This just came out recently by Sam Tsui. It is a cover of 21 Pilots, Stressed Out.
Two things. I am blurry face and I care what you think. Second of all, I really like this band. And third, my kids and my wife and two of their friends all got tickets to see them in concert in July. So that'll be fun, right? These guys are good.
Oh, yeah.
I like the 21 Pilots.
I do too.
They're great.
Yeah.
Here it is. It's Stressed Out. We'll be back.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice or sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time I sang. And I was told when I get older all my fears would shrink, but now I'm insecure and I care what people think. And I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. We could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. We're stressed out. Sometimes a certain smell will take me back to when I was young. How come I'm never able to identify where it's coming from? I'd make a candle out of it if I ever found it. I'd sell it, never sell out of it. I'd probably only sell one. And it's you, my brother. We have the same nose, same clues. Homegrown stones, so quick we remind us of when nothing really mattered. Out of student loans and tree households, we all would take the ladder. And I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Turn, call each other different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at our face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. We used to play pretend, call each other different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at our face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
Yippee-ki-yay!
Get off the nuclear warhead.
This call is an official final notice call from Internal Revenue Services.
The Morning Stream. No dicks here.
All right, we're back. We're back. Let's continue on. That was great. That was really cool.
It's a good cover.
I got to get that from Nick.
Took
He'll love that.
Took a new direction.
Yeah, they're cool, man. I think 21 Pilots are cool. And what I like most about it is the singer there used to he was almost a big time basketball guard position basketball player. Yeah.
Like professional, like Utah Jazz level,
like
or
college? Gonna get big scholarshipy stuff going on and all that. And he decided, you know what? I really rather play music, and that's the story. And he quit and he did that instead and painted his hands black. Painted his hands black and then painted his neck all black and made it look like a tattoo, but really it's just dirty.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I know about 21 Pilots.
Like the worst way to get a tattoo.
I agree. Let's get Steven in here.
Okay.
If you're all right with that, I'm going to do it.
No, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Let's see if it picks up right away like it always does because he's like some kind of genius man. Here's this, right here, right there. Ladies and germs, it is Steven Schleicher from somewhere in Kansas. Hello, man. What's going on?
Hello. Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How was your weekend? Everything fine?
A lot of shooting. We were doing a lot of production, doing a lot of different shoots. So
did you
find them all over at our YouTube channel?
Yeah. Did you get a taste of the Oscars at all? Do you care about that stuff at all?
I'm not a really big fan of like these kinds of award ceremonies, but I was able to follow, of course, through Twitter, and of course, 5 minutes after anything exciting happens, everybody had posted the clip online. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I got the most important parts of the Oscars.
There you go.
Out
you
of
get
the
to
way.
See the best. Yeah, the I greatest was. Hits.
Yes, I was surprised. I like Spotlight. I think it's a really, really good movie, but I was surprised it won the best movie. I really thought it was going to be up for Revenant.
Yeah, and so I'm seeing Revenant tomorrow, finally.
It's good. I think you'll like it. And if you haven't seen Spotlight is really, really good.
I hear it is in the grand tradition of All the President's Men, for example.
Very
it
much.
Is. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that sort of thing. Which, by the way, that movie still holds up. Totally worth watching.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure
totally
it does.
Yeah.
I watched it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So good.
It is like the way their hair and like ties and stuff are, it is totally a period piece at this point. anyway.
Giant sideburns.
Indeed. Steven, it's always good to have you on. We talk about all things pop culture, comics, movies, and all that kind of jazz from the great site of majorspoilers.com. And the good news is, and I meant to talk to Daryl about this and forgot, but Nicholas Meyer has joined the Star Trek series. In what capacity and why should we be glad he's there?
So Nicholas Meyer, most of you may know him from doing the Wrath of Khan. Mm-hmm. He was the director of Wrath of Khan and the writer-producer of Undiscovered Country as well. He has joined the production of Star Trek, the new TV show for CBS and CBS Online. He is joining the writing staff, and he will be a consulting producer on the piece. If you want to know what Daryl has to say, he went on Twitter last week, as soon as the announcement came out, and said, "This is giving me sort of an orgasmic feeling."
Ew. That's great, Daryl, but we didn't want to know.
Yeah.
Is it so he's known? I mean, he's highly thought of. People like this guy. Like,
oh, sure. I think arguably, The Wrath of Khan is the best Star Trek movie that they've made, and so to have him attached on this and to be excited about this, I think says a lot about what CBS's commitment is to this series, even though people are still upset that this is going from a one episode airing on CBS to the rest of the series being online, which personally I think is the smartest move CBS could make right now.
Right. So I'm looking at his director stuff just to give us a taste of other things. So he did Time After Time, which my mom loved for whatever reason. The Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Dale, there's that. Then you got The Day After. Remember that?
Oh, man. Living up and growing up around Lawrence. That movie freaked the crap out of me.
Yeah, that was
The city. That was the city that got demolished in the movie.
Oh, really? Yeah, and it was the height of the Cold War, and it was great. Yeah. That was great.
I wasn't allowed to watch.
Really,
it was controversial, yes. Man.
It was. There was so much. And I was living the summers I spent at my grandparents' house, and my grandmother was like, "No, you are not going to watch that." That's Hungarian.
Oh,
you
man.
Are not going to watch that, Brian.
Really.
I don't think it holds up as well today if you were to watch it, but man, there are still scenes from that series that are burned into my psyche forever.
Well, he also did something called Volunteers, The Deceivers, Fairy Tale Theater, Company Business, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, Vendetta for TV, and something called Love Affair, which just got announced. The fact that he's involved in Star Trek is a very exciting turn of events, and I'm super jazzed about that. He also was a producer or wrote the screenplay for Voyage Home, and...
He's done a lot more writing than directing.
Yeah. They did some screenplay stuff for the Prince of Egypt animated cartoon, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is good news. I don't know. I mean, he's 70. I don't know what his role, like how active will he be in the whole process? I don't know. But I guess we'll find out.
I'm sure he'll pop in and say, "Hey, you guys need to do this to make it better."
Yeah. Exciting times ahead for Star Trek.
Now pay me.
Yeah, pay me. Give me lots of money.
Yep.
Marvel found their Iron Fist, and it wasn't where they were looking. Or no, I don't know. I just where was the Iron Fist? What happened there?
So the Iron Fist just happened to be attached to Game of Thrones actor. What's his face?
Something of Flowers guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is his name? Gosh, I can't even remember it now. Jason Finn?
Him and Renly were doing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were getting it on.
Finn Jones is the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Finn Jones. There we go.
He seems like a fine choice. I think he looks great. Why not?
I think so. I think there were a lot of people hoping that Marvel and Netflix would try to break from traditional casting on this, even though Danny Rand is a white guy in the comics and grew up being trained in Asia. That they may break with tradition and go with an Asian actor for this, but they decided to go with Game of Thrones' Finn Jones.
Maybe he'll don a horrible, offensive Asian accent.
Oh, probably not.
Darn
it will be interesting to see how they incorporate the Iron Fist giant tattoo on his chest, the dragon tattoo on his chest, because that's actually part of the origin of Iron Fist, Danny Rand, how he gets his powers. It'll be interesting to see if they do what they do with the costumes. Now, we saw with Daredevil how they evolve that costume over the first season and how in the next season, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, how that's more of a full-blown Daredevil costume. Luke Cage was not wearing a yellow silk shirt and a tiara in Jessica Jones, but we don't know what's coming up. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle this.
Punisher. Okay, so here's what they need to do. They need to have a crossover with the Daredevil show to introduce Iron Fist to people who don't know him. Mm-hmm. And he needs to spend a bunch of time punching the earlobes of Barenthal, the new Punisher man. Exactly. And you can do it on either side because those things are like big, saggy, hanging freaking gym equipment is what I'm telling you. All right. Well, that's exciting. I actually really look forward to how they keep fleshing this out. I look forward to potentially the big group up one, which was, what do they call when they're all together?
The Defenders.
Defenders.
And that is coming 2019, I want to say, is when that's coming out. Maybe 2018. I can't remember the exact year.
It'd be great if they could get Cumberbatch to sign off on that, too, because Doctor Strange was such a big part of the Defenders. Mm-hmm. That
he'd be willing, wouldn't he? He's not that big yet, is he? He's kind of big.
I don't think he's too big to do Netflix stuff. No, why not? At least
and here's the problem. Yeah. They have to decide. I mean, they're really keeping a separation from, even though it's in the same universe, they're really keeping a separation from the gritty Netflix series that we're seeing with Jessica Jones and Daredevil and the kid-friendly Everybody Lives, The Good Guys Win movie universe.
Well, it's interesting where they do crossover. Like last year's Daredevil season, there would just be mentions, right? Like, thing that happened in New York, or, you know, what's going on at Stark Industries or something. There'd be like little references, and I'm fine with that. Like, I like that they tie them together in that way. But just like the comics, they often would not meet, you know?
I wouldn't have any problem at all if Daredevil or Jessica Jones showed up in Civil War. Yeah, I think that would be a great stinger. You know, that would be a great little...
I just don't think they go the other way. I think you can do that. Yeah. What Brian just said is totally doable. I think having... I'm trying to think of who would do it. Having Falcon show up on an episode, maybe that would work.
Oh,
Falcon
probably would be one of the likely ones. I don't think you'd get Paul Rudd or Mark Ruffalo.
The more interesting one would be seeing the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show up in a Netflix series. You know, they did that whole thing, what is it, Item 47, that short film where they are tracking down artifacts from the invasion of the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
There could totally be something that happens in an episode on Netflix, but man, you've got so few episodes to do for Netflix. It would be hard to, hey, let's cram in this story point or this plot line from the movies into the show.
Does this say something about where this kid is in his Game of Thrones arc? I don't want to spoil anything, but doesn't it kind of... Because he hasn't died yet, has he?
Spoilers. Gosh.
I think he's still alive. Spoilers, Scott. I think that's a guy who's still walking the Westeros. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, is it a spoilers when everyone dies in Game of Thrones?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that he's moving to another series, I don't know what this production thing is with Netflix versus that or what the crossover is, but it does make you wonder if... His time may be limited on Game of Thrones.
Or they've worked it out to where they're shooting it in between seasons.
Okay. Well, it's not that big a deal.
Because I think Jessica Jones only shot for, I want to say it's only shot for 90 days.
Oh, that's something you could do on your Christmas vacation there. You could just whip that out and be Chief Tyrell, or no, what's his name on the, whatever. He's a Game of Thrones man. He can be that too. It's fine.
Yep.
Let's also talk about Batman and Superman.
Man, that movie is coming up faster than than a speeding bullet. Hey, you know what? Today, February 29th, is Superman's birthday.
No, really?
Yes. He was born on Leap Day?
In the comics, they've always referenced a Superman's birthday as being February 29th, which is why he's always so young, because his birthday only comes around once every 4 years.
That makes sense. How old is he then? If you counted it year over year, though, how old would he be? Like 100 or something now? What is he?
No. He's 8. I think he's coming up on his 80th birthday.
Oh, that's
75th
all?
75th or 80th, yeah.
Oh. Well, that's no big deal. I know people are over that.
1938 was his debut, so do the math from there.
Yeah, well, I guess really that's 20. I guess that's true. He's 20. Yeah.
in Krypton years, he's 20.
He's Scott Welling, or what was his name? Mark Welling. Who played the Smallville one? What was his name?
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling.
Yeah.
I knew it was the name of someone we knew. So there was a Tom in there.
Harold
Camping. No interviews. All right.
So if you guys have some money to drop.
Yeah.
And Brian, you need to add something next to that inflatable doll back there in the background.
He always does.
Sideshow Collectibles has a 1/2 scale statues of both Batman and Superman from the upcoming Batman v Superman
half
movie.
Scale.
So it's half That's scale. Crazy. So these things are like standing 41 inches and 43 inches tall. Batman's taller than Superman in this.
It's the ears.
And the detail is incredibly stunning in these statues. Problem is, so is the price.
Mm.
You're going to drop $2,000 per statue if you want.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, I believe the capes on both of them are real. So you've got like a cloth cape draping over these, which I've got a couple of statues that do that from Sideshow Collectibles, not nearly this expensive. But it does look really stunning to see that cloth cape attached to the statue. But man, if you are a big fan of Batman v Superman or Henry Cavill or Ben Affleck, now's your chance to get miniature versions of those.
These guys
if you've
look
got
like
a lot
them.
Of new money to throw around.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you really have to have that. Now, the good thing is you can do it on installment plans. $250 a month will get you one of the statues by November. And then if you do them both at the same time, you can get them both by November. in the installment plan.
Wow.
I'm looking at this. I didn't remember in the last in Man of Steel the side of Superman's uniform being
They did have that kind of stripe, but it doesn't show up well in the dark, gritty look of
didn't realize he was ribbed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say this, he looks like they both look like the actors. Like I'm very impressed. Yeah.
They are spot on with that, which is freaky.
It is a little freaky. Now, so when you say they're what was the scale again? Half scale.
One half scale.
Well, all right. Let me ask you a question. If you're gonna make action figures, when you make them small, it's like, oh, look how these are unrealistically incredibly small. Right. And if you make them life size, wow, these are life size, incredibly realistic. If you make them half size, it's weird. Because then they're just like little people.
Right. Exactly. It's like the jockeys that you put in your front lawn. Or
yes.
Yes, I'm going to have Superman standing out on my front lawn.
Exactly. Wow. That's
scaring the crows away or whatever.
Freaky,
dude. You know, most statues that you see that are in this fine line, you usually find those in 1/6 scale. And a lot of the action figures, really good high detailed action figures, you find in the 1/6 scale, which is about a foot tall. And those can be really good, but it seems like they scale up dramatically, almost exponentially, because for a good 1/6 scale action figure of, you know, the Black Widow, for example, you may be paying about $299 for that.
Yeah.
Half scale, you're getting up to the $2,000 range. Mm-hmm. And if you go full scale, you can find these that range anywhere from $3,000 to $25,000.
I remember Brookstone used to be the place. Like, they would have the full-size Sam Raimi Spider-Man or the full-size Stormtrooper or things like that. And I'd rather get something. If I have a crap ton of money that I just don't know what to do with, I'd rather get a full-size thing that's going to, like, sit in the corner of the room.
Stare at you all day, yeah.
Right, then half-size, like, I'm the Dark Avenger.
These stand on either side of your movie screen in your home theater.
Right,
these,
exactly.
That would be a good scale right there.
Hi, I'm the Man of Steel. Hello.
And I'm Batman.
Oh, man. All right. Well, these are the stories and more that you can find over at majorspoilers.com. And you mentioned your YouTube channel. People should go there more often. Tell them where to go.
YouTube.com/majorspoilersvideo. We didn't get a full Lego video out this week, but I do have kind of a behind the scenes time lapse of a time lapse video of me building this week's Wayne Manor, Brian. Out, available now. March, actually tomorrow.
The 1966 one, right?
The 1966 one. I believe it goes on sale for everybody tomorrow, March 1st. And it's a very cool set. It's about 2,500 pieces.
Wow. It looks so cool. Wayne Manor's
awesome. Does it come with a little minifig of...
It comes with a lot of minifigs. So it's got...
Like the whole Rogues Gallery.
Yeah, everybody except Captain Cole or Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
That one is a separate minifigure that I believe they're going to be giving away in a promo during March.
Is that Chitara or whatever her name in it? From the Doom Patrol, whatever her name is. I can't think of her name. She's always the one in the cartoon that was going perfect all the time.
Oh, Cheetah?
Catwoman? Yeah, Cheetah. Was it Cheetah?
Oh, Cheetah. Okay.
Well, Catwoman is in this. So it's for the villains, it's got Catwoman, Joker, Riddler.
Yeah.
And then it's got Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson. It's got Batman and Robin.
No Penguin?
Oh, it does have the Penguin as well.
Okay, good.
And then it also has Alfred in there as well.
No Solomon Grundy.
Nope. These were the main ones from the TV show, the 1966. So those are the main ones you're getting. It would have been interesting if they would have had an egghead thrown in there.
Yeah.
But not with this set.
So can you faint?
Zsa Zsa Gabor's,
yes. Or can you faintly see Cesar Romero's mustache behind the
Joker
makeup?
Yes, and that is the craziest thing about the Joker figure is the white face has a mustache on it. That is the best part about that minifigure.
All right, where do I buy?
Yeah,
Lego.com/shop if you're a member.
Yeah.
But I believe that everything goes on sale on March 1st, so you may not be able to get it on Amazon just yet, unless it's a pre-order.
This is what you'll hear. If I ever build this and have it in the house and Randy visits, you'll hear this.
I've moved Catwoman.
Okay, great. Majorspoilers.com, Major Spoilers on Twitter, all over the place. Go find more about a Major Spoiler all the time. Steven, always a pleasure, man.
Bye, guys.
We'll see you later.
See ya.
I call this bye guys again.
Bye, guys.
Bisexual guys. All right. Let's give Veronica in. Do what she do.
Sure.
I probably ought to have some sort of file lined up.
Some
you know?
Sort of musical introduction?
Yeah, like this one.
Veronica.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Veronica Ann Belmont on the line. Hello, Veronica.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I think I'm pretty dang good. I'm still paranoid that everyone's cold is going to get to me somehow before I go to Mexico, and I'm doing all I can to wash my hands every 5 seconds.
You're going to Mexico?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I am going. It's my first real vacation in probably 15 years.
That's amazing. I'm so jealous.
I am excited, yes. Lots of sun, lots of food, and people waiting on me, and that's what I really need in my life.
Are you telling people what part of Mexico you're going to? Or are you
no, I am. We're going to, it's Cancun. It's an all-inclusive, and that's all I actually know. My wife knows all the other details. I don't know anything. Except
it's good. It'll be like a surprise also.
Yeah, as long as it's not some street corner with a bad street taco, I'm fine. Everything will be fine.
Well, you should still eat street tacos.
Oh, okay.
But that's beside the point.
It depends on the street,
yeah,
I suppose.
For sure.
Yeah. Veronica comes on the show every Monday and talks about what's happening in the world of video games, both news, reviews, and otherwise. What's going on today? What's happening?
Have you guys ever had the desire to be a bear?
Which kind?
I am like on Grindr.
like an actual bear in the forest.
Oh, yes, and my one of choice would be a polar bear with armor on.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I like those.
Oddly
specific.
I want
the one that takes picnic baskets. That's the one I'd want to be.
Oh, okay.
Picnic baskets.
All right.
Yeah, so there is, you can now have your wish, though you have to be a kind of specific bear. There's a game called Bear Simulator.
Oh, another one, another simulator in a long line of like goats. Is it a goofy one like Goat Simulator, or are they going for a more serious tone?
It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. You are a bear. You kind of walk around the forest. You eat grubs. You eat things you find. Mostly you eat. I think it's like, I think 90% of it is eating. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you kill the odd adventurer, according to Kotaku.
Okay.
But mostly it's just, you know, it's largely just being a bear.
Really? And is it,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like what they probably, that's just a guess, and I saw a video on Steam, but it looks like what they're probably doing is another... It's basically a survival game, but skinned from the perspective of an animal doing.
Yeah, it's kind of. They say it's kind of like mini Skyrim, but you're a bear.
Mm. Oh, that sounds all right.
I'm sorry, you don't even kill the odd adventurer. This is just something that you think you would be able to do as a bear, but no. In this game, you mostly just eat and wear caps.
wait, wear caps?
Yes, you can find a baseball cap and then wear it.
Like bears do.
As they do.
Okay. But wait a minute. I want to go down to somebody's tent and like freak them out or take their food off the line or, you know, like that kind of stuff. I can't fiddle with humans at all?
You can loot, but I don't really know. I haven't played the game yet. You can watch a walkthrough of it. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of lacks some of the humor of like Goat Simulator, for example.
Sure.
It's a little more, like I said, straightforward. But yeah, you're a bear.
Didn't you play some kind of... I watched you stream some kind of badger game like this.
Oh, yes. That game.
What was that called? That was weird.
I'm amazed you remember that. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but it stuck with me because it was a weird art style. Like some kind of weird, funky, cel-shaded thing. But
yeah, it was. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was really pretty. And you spent what seemed like forever just like eating and feeding like young badgers or something.
Make a dam? Oh, no, it was a beaver.
That's a beaver.
It was hard because you had to, your babies like kept trying to wander off.
Yeah.
So the whole game is getting your babies alive to the next stage.
Oh, man.
And it was very difficult. And every time a baby disappeared, like I'd be walking through a dark forest and just suddenly there would be four babies instead of five babies.
Oh.
And I would have like a total freak out.
Why would you end up with, because you'd end up with somebody else's, some other badger baby? Is that how?
No, they would just your babies would wander off and get killed by things in the forest or whatever. Sometimes there'd be a hawk that would come and steal your babies. It was a nightmare.
Jeez, that's hardcore.
It was really awful.
But it is this, we live in an era now where I feel like some video games are not made for the reasons
fun
we used to make them. Yeah.
But
also sometimes I think we make them so that they work well for YouTubers to play and then sell a bunch of copies.
I think you're dead on. I think a lot of these games are exactly that. And I think that is, it's kind of sad in a way, I guess, because there's not a lot of replayability sometimes. So yeah, I wonder what it really is about that one-off, like just sell as many copies as possible, get a bunch of YouTube plays, and who knows.
Yeah, and I know you can, you know, people want to watch somebody play, sold, I don't know, I'm trying to think, one of the Souls games or something, and they want to see that live stream, and I get it, like, it's entertaining, but they usually don't stick around very long for that stuff, but they'll hang around for Goat Simulator because wackiness ensues, and maybe we're just seeing a shift in what people want from games. It isn't just the games they want anymore. They also want, I don't know, entertainment pieces that their favorite online YouTube-y people will play for them.
Right.
It's weird. We live in a weird time is what I'm saying, I guess.
Strange times, yeah. Yes.
Strange times, everybody. So the bottom line is buy Bear Simulator and tell us how it is because I don't think I want to play it.
Yeah, I don't want to spend my money on it. I'm good.
Yeah. Veronica, is always good to have you here.
Vicariously through you, living vicariously through a bear.
Exactly. maybe you could, you know, it'd be fun if they Easter egged it and put like a Leonardo DiCaprio in there. That, you could
attack. That would be amazing. Yeah. I'm happy for Leonardo DiCaprio.
I am too. I'm stoked for him. He is one of the best actors ever. And the fact that it took us this long is ridiculous to me. I mean, people want to have fun with it, meme it up and stuff. But I think I've always been just transfixed by him. So well done.
It's pretty amazing that he was like a child actor and he turned out not only okay, yeah, but like one of the best actors of his generation.
Right. I mean, and it's, and his top will never stop spinning, as a reference to my favorite movie he's in.
Nice.
may your top never stop either. It's Veronica on Twitter. Anything else happening? Any cool business happening you want to mention?
No. DTNS today.
Yeah.
At 1:30 with Tom, as always, on Mondays.
Talk about HoloLens pre-ordered $3,000 dev kits on there.
I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. That might be good.
Yeah, that happened. Story. People are pissed because there's a theory going around that when Oculus put out their stuff, which isn't augmented reality, but anyway, similar business, they put those things out as $300 per dev kit. And the argument is, well, lots of crazy cool innovations and ideas for VR came out of the fact that hobbyists and people who could afford $300 made experiences nobody else would have, and that putting this thing at $3,000 is just going to limit the creativity. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
Just get it out there to as many people as possible would be my what's the word?
Recommendation. Your admonition. There you go.
Coffee brain needs to get started now. Thank you.
Kick in molecules. Catch her today, 1:30 p.m., dailytechnewsshow.com for details.
Follow me on Snapchat, Veronica Belmont.
Yes, Veronica Belmont on Snapchat. The stories just keep coming. Veronica, stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you later. Bye. All right. She's out.
Very good.
Brian, I have a story I should tell, but I can't. Here's this. I got emails for you. I'm going to do two of them. They're short. Right. Short little emails, like the micro penis on Hitler. Okay.
that's really short.
Yep. Yavort. Here it is. How come you guys, this is Jeff P says, how come you guys seem so young, even though you're getting older?
Oh,
I don't even know how to answer that. I don't know. I don't feel old.
Podcasting keeps you young,
I guess. I don't know. I was watching a bunch of home videos last night. My mom brought them anyway. It was all this stuff with my dad in it, and we were just all reminiscing, and some of these videos were when I was in my 20s, and at the time, you don't think about it, but then you think you're getting old. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm 25. I'm so old now. I look back at it now, I'm like, oh my gosh, you were a kid. And then I used to think, my dad didn't have me till I was 31. He was an old man. Dude, 31. It's freaking nothing.
So young.
So what I've learned over time, and I think you probably agree with this, tell me if you don't, but I feel like it just doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? There are days where I complain about it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But most of the time, it's just like, all right, well.
It's exactly. The only thing age does is just give you a reference as to how long you've been on the planet. It doesn't say your mental state, your physical state, your emotional state. All those things are managed separately. And if you keep things on the easygoing train, then you'll always seem young.
Plus, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, there's that.
It's just there. It's this looming thing, and you can either just get what does Red say on that show? He says in that movie, he says, "Get busy living or get busy dying."
Right.
So get busy living, or was that Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he did mean he was intending by that statement to imply that you should get busy living. That is the takeaway.
Come out clean on the other side. That's what he wants you to do.
Exactly.
One more email. This is another really short one. I like these short ones, so I wanted to get them out of the way.
Sure.
HL. I don't know what that stands for, but he says this. Says, when
Hal
was...
London.
Hal London. Hal Linden. Sure. Hal Linden. Wait, Hal he died, Linden. I think. Too soon.
Oh,
when... It's been decades. When was the last time you had a decent lasagna? Asks HL.
Tina makes a veggie lasagna fairly often that's fantastic.
I can't remember the last time I had a good lasagna. I don't think I've had one in ages. I think maybe a restaurant maybe had a good one, but we don't really do it around here. But that sounds really good right now. Mm-hmm. And I would take Tina's lasagna and eat it. I totally would. Sure. That sounds really good to me.
She makes it, like I said, she makes a great lasagna.
So Brian's answer is all the time.
Right.
My answer is...
Scott's answer is, don't remember.
Don't remember. Like everything we talk about. emails come to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's with a the in the front, themorningstream@gmail.com. We also have voicemails. We'll have some of those this week. And you can leave your own at 801-471-0462. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. All things that matter are there. And a note that today at noon, there will be a live boop show right here on the same stream. That'll be me at noon. Big video game news today, so come on back for that. And then tonight at 3 p.m. Mountain. Is that right? Yeah, 3 p.m. Mountain. Hotline Monday, third episode tonight. So that'll be
fun. I missed it. I forgot last week, and I'm gonna make sure I'm setting my alarm right now so I can listen in to Hotline. I might even call in and harass you guys.
Anyone can call. The number will be there.
Oh, anyone can? Oh, we'll forget it. Well, I thought it was
only Brian. Only Brian can call. He's special. So come back for that, and that's Monday, busy Monday. Oh, and then a new Core tonight as well. We had to delay today, so there'll be a new episode of Core tonight. Today, oh man, I've turned Mondays into shit podcast days.
You are
days.
A podcasting fiend today. You're like the podcasting equivalent of eating what happens when you eat gas station sushi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Diarrhea podcasting. Yeah. Right here for you.
Potteria.
That sounds like a website.
Let's get that domain.
Yeah, let's get it. And we can rate, like, Keith and the girl will be number one every week on there.
That's right. Vote for us on Potteria.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds real. That's so funny. All right, we're out of here. Let's get out. Let's leave. But before we do, Brian will play music for me. What do you have, Brian?
Certainly. Joe wrote in, said, "Hey, Scott and Brian, 8 years ago, I had the privilege to marry the person who's become my best friend and truly the one person I could never live without. We were married on leap year day, so we celebrate big anniversaries on the fours. On this day, our quote-unquote second anniversary, I would like to request either a cover of Question by the Old 97s or Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac. The former because we danced to it at our wedding, or the latter because it is the song for which my lovely wife was named. Who knows what they would have picked on another year, maybe Beth or Maggie May. In a pinch, because she met one of my musical requirements for the person I'd spend my life, or the rest of my life with, to love country music, even though we're in Los Angeles. Maybe a nice country ditty about ranching bacon and cheddar cheese sandwiches."
Damn it.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
All right.
I love the show, though, Joe. You know, when I read this, it's like, oh, yeah, I totally remember meeting. I could have sworn we met Joe and Rhiannon at Nerdtacular because I remember that name. Mm. Beautiful name. And happy to play a cover of that. As a matter of fact, the cover I'm going to play of it does what I really like. It takes the song and it reimagines it. And while the original of Rhiannon is more in a minor key, the cover you're about to hear kind of brightens it up a little bit, puts it closer to a major key, and but not completely. So it's not like a total happy cover kind of thing. I really like it. Right. Hopefully you will too. Came out on an album called Just Tell Me That You Want Me, a tribute to Fleetwood Mac. Came out in 2012. Here is the band that performs it. They're called Best Coast. This is Rhiannon.
See you guys tomorrow.
Dark, and then she is
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Basically, the worst parts of the Bible.